Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Jason, man.
Yeah, I sound remarkably like Russ Laney. Welcome in the name of the Lord. I'm going to open this up with a word of prayer, then we're going to all sing a song. Written by a guy named Mark Hall. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. And Father God, we thank you for all our blessings. And we thank you for everyone that's here this morning to hear your word. Father God, I pray that you will just open our hearts, open our minds and our spirits, and open our spiritual ears to hear your word this morning in Jesus' name. Father God, we put ourselves down before you. Father God, we just lay down and humble ourselves before you in Jesus' name and pray that you will just make yourself known to us this morning in Jesus' name.
So I asked Chase to play that song this morning. We were joking. I said, I wish you could just write this song about the body of Christ. And then it just came to me. I haven't heard that song since I was a teenager. But it just came to me. The title of the message this morning, it's really more of a word, is, Are We Not the Body? Are we not the body? You know, we know that as believers, we are part of the body of Christ. But what does that really mean? What is the body of Christ? In Ephesians 2, 12 through 22, it says, At that time you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made no effect of the law, consisting of demands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross and put hostility to death by it. When the Messiah came, he proclaimed the good news of peace to you who are far away and to peace to those who are near. We're in Ephesians 2. So then you who are no foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building, being put together by him, grows into the holy sanctuary of the Lord. You are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. That is the body. It is the building with Christ as the cornerstone, being put together for the dwelling of the Spirit of God. That is our calling as the body. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." So what is the purpose of the body? What is the purpose of the body? The purpose of the body is to be a building where Christ's Spirit dwells. In Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, it says, "We have also received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works out everything in agreement with the decision of his will, so that we who already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory." So our purpose, while with the dwelling of the Spirit, is to bring praise to his glory. We are his inheritance. He inherited us, and we're to bring praise to him. If we do nothing but that as the body, then we've achieved our goal. What else are we called to do as a body? Well, we're called to spread the gospel. We're called to worship him. We're called to be his hands and feet. We're called to reach and love and teach. But you know, there are some things keep us from doing that. You know, God, he's getting ready to do a big thing. We're hearing from prophets across the globe. Every prophet you hear from right now says, God is getting ready to move in a big way. I'm hearing it. I'm feeling it. Even Papa Jay, Paul said a couple weeks ago, said, his place is getting ready to turn a corner. And we've been coming to this corner for 5 years, and change is coming, and we've been praying for it, and we feel it, and it's coming. So we know that change is coming. And I've been seeking God and saying, God, what is this move? What are you ushering in? Because here at this place, we want to be a part of that. So I was reading the other night in this book. I've had this book for 3 or 4 years. I picked it up at IHOP in Kansas City when I was there with Allie. It's called Growing in the Prophetic, and I finally picked it up this week. And I was reading in it, and Mike Bickle has written in 1990, by the way, God will change the way unbelievers view the church. They will again witness God's wonderful yet terrifying power in the church. They will have a very different understanding of Christianity before God is finished with this generation. The phrase expression of Christianity meant the way the body of Christ expresses its life together. God is powerfully going to change the church so that it functions effectively as a healthy body, in power and in love, instead of just having meetings and programs based on design and structure. There are three elements to this new understanding of Christianity: unparalleled power, purity, and unity. Christian relationships with God and with each other, the way they are perceived by unbelievers, and even the structure and functioning of the church will be radically and suddenly changed by God himself. The change will take place not in a month and not in a year or a few years, but in one generation. The understanding and expression of Christianity is going to be changed by a great outpouring of the Spirit that will cross all kinds of national, social, ethic, cultural, and denominational barriers. It won't be just a Western world revival. Above all things, it will impart and renew deep, affectionate passion for Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit longs above all things to glorify Jesus in the human heart. He wants to impart deep, holy affections for Jesus in the bride of Christ. I believe that this is part of what's coming. I believe that Mike Bickle saw it 20 years ago. You know? But if we at his place want to be part of that, then we've got to tear down the things that are stopping the move, stopping us from being part of the move. And I feel like the one thing standing in the way of the body of Christ, not necessarily in this body, but the collective body of Christ, is disunity. And I'm not saying it's here. In a lot of ways, I feel like this message is lost on his place, because I feel like we try so hard to tear down dividing walls, and we care so much about unity in the body, and that's what we're all about here. And I keep saying, God, why here? Why this message for here? But he just drove it. Maybe we just need a refresher of what we're all about here, you know? Disunity within our churches and across denominations. Can the body of Christ usher in or even take part in this move of God while in disunity? Are our divisions making us less effective at our purpose? The purpose of being a place for the dwelling of the Spirit and bringing praise to his glory. I know I wasn't here because I just had surgery, but I know that Paul preached the same message. And I purposely did not listen to it until I had finished this message. And then last night I sat and listened to it and I just laughed because I thought, God, what are you saying? It's been 1 month since he preached the exact same message. You know, to function properly, all parts of your body have to work together. Your brain, your heart, your lungs, your liver, your hands and your feet. They do different things, but they have to work together for one goal. And God has given all these different parts of the body a different purpose and a different plan. And these churches are doing this, and these churches are doing this, and these churches are doing this. But it's not because we're so different that we can't come together. It's because God called us to different things so that together we are one body who meets all the needs. You know, here at his place, we want to do all these things, but we can't effectively do every single thing all the time. It's too much. We can't do anything well. And over here, they can't do every single thing. You know, my brain can't do every single part of my body, and my liver can't do every single part of my body. But when they get together, and they get connected, and they start working, all of a sudden the body is functional. And that is what God is calling us to here. You know, God has been speaking this to me for, gosh, about a month. And I didn't say anything to anybody. I was just kind of processing it. And then Chase came to me one day, and he said, you know, God said this, 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 and this. And I mean, he just read my mail. And I knew then that we had it together. And I said, okay, well, whenever Paul calls and says, it's your time, this is the message. Secretly praying that he wouldn't call. And when he called this week, or he texted, I said, what did I say? No. I don't want to. And Paul wouldn't let it go. And it's because he knew that God wanted this message shared. And so many times I said, God, why here? These people, they don't need to hear this message. They get unity. But if we're going to affect the body, we have to know what God is saying about it so that we can go out and do, so that we can go out and share. You know, Rick Warren, I read a quote from him this week, and he said, what happens when part of your body fails to function? You get sick, and the entire rest of your body suffers for it. Even if the whole rest of the body is healthy, if one part is sick and not functioning, the whole body is sick. So we need to be affecting the whole body in every way that we can. Romans 15:7, it says, therefore accept one another, just as the Messiah also accepted you to glorify God. If we're going to do something about disunity in the body, we have to first figure out where it's coming from. What brings disunity in the body? Why are these churches and denominations so far apart, and why can't they come together on what matters? What do you think? I mean, why are they so disunited? Personalities?
Theology.
Territorial. Pride.
Tradition.
That's actually one of the things I've written. Fear of change. What if I start hanging out with those people over there and they think this about this differently than I do? And what if maybe my way of thinking is wrong and maybe I start realizing it? Then all of a sudden something's going to change. You know, I think that there's a lot of fear of change. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of what they think and what they think. Everybody's afraid to come together because my tradition might change and my pride might fall because what if I was wrong? You know, and it's not to say denominations in and of themselves are not a bad thing. I mean, unity in anywhere is good. But if that denomination puts up a wall and keeps you from the other part of the body, if it keeps your brain from your heart, then it is a problem. You know, then the body is not functioning like it should be. And you know, division is coming from Satan first and foremost. I mean, he's the author of confusion. And he has learned, if I can get in there and I can get them divided, a house divided will not stand. And they're going to be so busy competing with and arguing with each other that they're not going to care or they're not going to be effective in fighting these things that I'm doing in their country. And we're losing our country because the body of Christ is divided. If the body of Christ could figure out how to come together and work together despite our differences, then we would rise up. Do you know how many Christians there are or claim to be Christians in the United States? But we're not effective. And we're not effective because we're a house divided. You know, clearly, it's not God's intention for us to be divided. He didn't create multiple bodies. He created one body with Christ at the head. So the question is now, what do we do about it? We know the problem. We know where it's coming from. We know the effect it's having. What do you do about it? You know, God is a breaker of walls. We need to be praying that He would tear down dividing walls in the body. But we also need to begin seeing our differences as strengths rather than divisions. Yeah, we have differences. God created us that way. He gave us different strengths to fill different needs in the body. That doesn't make us right and others wrong. It doesn't make them right and us wrong. It makes us a family, one body with different strengths working toward one common goal. You know, I was talking to Chase about this last night. I have two sisters. And the three of us, we all do really different things. My baby sister is incredibly smart. She's a scientist. She's gotten more full rides to college than I can count. She's graduating in a couple months with four different degrees, bachelor's degrees. Not minors, four separate majors. And my middle sister has this beautiful creative mind. She can create anything she puts her mind to. And then when I come in, I have the business side of it, and I can run the organizational things, and I can take on the leadership and hire and fire as I need to. But together, the three of us can run one heck of a business. Because God knew what we needed, and He created us together as a family. And He created His body in the same way. You know, the Baptists, I grew up Baptist, so I can say it with confidence. They do a fantastic job with missions. I mean, missions, gosh, my heart is so for missions. And all of these other bodies, they do all of these other things really well. All of us have something that we do really well. I happen to think that His place worships really, really well. What if all of that came together? And it will one day. It will one day. It will all come together. But what if we just got a piece of that instead of bickering and arguing, I do this, or I do this, or I'm this, or I'm that? What if we were all just part of the body? You know, what if we took all those giftings and put them together and just formed really well-functioning body? In 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, "Now I urge you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction." You know, even in John 17:20-23, Jesus prayed for unity in the body. He said, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me, that their message, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. I have given you glory you have given me. May they be as one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." So what is our role as a church in this body? What can we do to help bring unity and tear down dividing walls? Not judge. It's a big one. Well, forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We've got to forgive. You know, like Mariah said, the mercy with which we show others is the mercy we will be judged with. That's what we will be showing. So this is the His Place mission statement. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. I'm going to read it. Because if you are, you might have forgotten. Whenever we started this body, with six people on the floor of Paul and Mary's living room with our faces in the carpet, praying for God to bring change to this county. And this is what came out of it. Our mandate is to build bridges of unity between all races, generations, and denominations so that God's purposes and plans will be fulfilled in His kingdom. Our purpose is to allow the Holy Spirit to create an atmosphere of worship as a dwelling place for God to tabernacle with His people. Our desire is to see souls saved, delivered, healed, and set free, building His kingdom and changing lives one disciple at a time. That is the His Place mission statement. That is what we do about it. We are here to build bridges across denominations. You know, in Ephesians 4:11-16, says He personally gave some apostles, to some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. For from Him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. by the proper working of each individual part. You know, Colossians 3:14 says, above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. We have to love. We've got to show love. We've got to stop bickering and fighting and just show love. So what is your role in the body? I'm challenging you today because this is what God is challenging me with. How can you serve both in this church and in the collective body to build unity? How are we going to tear down these dividing walls? It's not something I necessarily have an answer for, but I ask you to pray about it. Pray about how you... Go ahead, Chase. I know what you want to say.
Well, I can add one thing that God convicted me of doing. You know, I would say, I don't know the exact number, something like 99.99% of all the churches in this county are Baptist churches. I never grew up Baptist. I went to a Baptist church for a while. But I know that probably majority, if not all the people in here at some point started in a Baptist church, maybe. But I know that sometimes I have a tendency to not speak from a place of love about Baptist churches, because, you know, I grew up in Church of God. You know, I've not always been spirit-filled, but I've always been in that environment. And to me, somewhere that didn't appear to me to be spirit-filled just seemed, you know, kind of below me, so to speak, even though I wasn't spirit-filled. But I think that Satan uses that to drive a wedge between denominations, because if we have a visitor come who's been a Baptist their whole life, and I even hate saying that because, I mean, I just consider myself a Christian, you know, but,
exactly. But
you know, if somebody comes in, maybe they're thinking about coming here, or maybe God called them here to hear a message or something, and they hear somebody say, well, you know, they're just from the Baptist church, or, you know, I just feel like, God convicted me of saying phrases like that and speaking about the Baptist church as a whole, you know, in a bad way, because they're so different, you know. Not that, like she said, not that they're wrong and we're right, or we're right or we're wrong and they're right. I just wanted to share that's something that God convicted me of. And I think that Satan can use that to cause disunity in the collective body.
He absolutely can. Absolutely. And I mean, I'm guilty of it. I was raised that way. And sometimes I've had to do a lot of forgiveness, because I was raised Baptist, but I was spirit-filled, even as a child. And I was seeing angels and demons, and I was having visions. And I would go to these leaders that I respected, and I would say, oh my gosh, this just happened to me. And they're like, don't ever talk about that. That is not of God. And I was angry because it was of God. I was worshiping when it happened, you know. And as an adult, I finally found someone who had an answer for me. And I had to have a lot of forgiveness there, because they're acting out of what they were taught. But if we want them to encounter the Spirit and have more, we're not going to do it by saying those Baptists. We're going to do it by saying, hey, look what we've got. We love you guys, and let's come together. And it will rub off on them, I promise, because it rubbed off on me. You know, like I said, I kind of feel like this message is wasted on this place, because here we have no denomination. We welcome and love everyone. But God wanted this message. I don't know. I feel like we need to take this message out of these walls. Go ahead, Mariah.
Well, I can tell you two things, confirmation. One, it's not wasted here. For one, I know my husband needed to hear that, because he's been talking a lot about this recently. You guys know. And also, I think some of the ways that we can do the things that we say we want to do is coming together first in this group where we are like-minded and starting it. Like you said, make one decision about one thing we're going to do that looks like what we need to do, and let's just do the one thing, and then let's do the next thing, and then do the next thing, because even though we're small at times, we can still make that decision to do that one thing. And then the other thing about the Baptist thing, you know how I talked last week about struggling with issues of dealing a lot with homosexuals, and I really want to love them and serve them and do right, all are 100% in agreement on, and focus on what do we agree on, and not focus so much on the things we're not.
I was reading something on Morningstar website this week because we're getting ready to go to a conference at Morningstar, and I wanted to know exactly what they believe. And one of the things that stood out to me, it said, on the main things, the important things, we believe this, and in the non-essential things, there's freedom. And if the body as a whole could realize that on the essential things, on Jesus is the Son of God, virgin birth, raised from the dead, if we can come together on that, then maybe some of those other things are not quite so important. They are important. But if it's building up dividing walls, let's just not talk about them right now. Let's get together and let's say Christ is the head and we're going to bring him glory and we're going to lay these other things down right now. Philip Stepp, God brought him back here at this time for a reason, and he and I have been talking a lot about the fact that we want to win McDowell County. And I asked him, I said, Philip, what does that look like? I'm with you 100%. We want to win McDowell County. His place is about that. And he believes that God has brought his place here at this time to carry that vision forward, to win his place, and we're going to be essential in it. What does that look like? And he said, you know, Beth, I can't exactly tell you, but I can tell you several years ago when I was a teenager, we had River Blast, and then we had a glimpse of it because we had 800 kids from all different denominations worshiping together and seeking the same goal. And I don't know whether or not Philip knows it, but River Blast was key to me accepting Christ, and Chase, too, when we were just teenagers. And that is a big part of who I am today. It was like a revival conference for teenagers in this community, and it went on for whatever 3-4 years. It went on
till the churches shut.
Till the churches shut it down. He said, Beth, it got in the way because certain churches wanted it to be their way, their doctrine, their denomination, and we had to quit. King James only. It was a big thing. It was a big fight about it, and it shut down. So I ask you, if we're going to win McDowell County for Christ, what does that look like? How can we be effective in that goal? Well, one thing's for certain. Go ahead. I was going to say, one thing is certain. It will not happen unless the body of Christ in this county figures out how to come together and function in unity and in love. One body can't do it. It's too much. The body has to rise up if we're going to win McDowell County.
You were talking about taking this outside of the church here. God called us to be his disciples, and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We do need to take this outside of the church. But like you said, the unity that we have here, and we're all spirit-filled, and we're all seeking the same thing, and we worship, but God gave us power when he gave us the Holy Spirit to go out into the world and to be able to talk. And that's been on my heart so much, to be obedient unto God and to fulfill his calling upon my life. Go out, talk to your neighbors, talk to people. That's what it is. Go out. He said, go out in the highways and byways and bring them in. And I believe that if we're just very, very careful that we are in tune with God and in tune with the Spirit, not trying to force something on somebody, but living our life before him and testifying when we get the opportunity.
You know, we're talking about, in closing, we're talking about we want to be his hands and feet. I mean, we had Chase sing that song this morning. If we are the body, why are his hands not reaching? Why are his feet not going? Why are his words not teaching? At his place, we've had a goal for a long time to reach out. And we've actually been doing a lot of working on the inside. But the time has come to reach out, and there are a lot of dates coming up where his place is reaching out. And the four of us, the five of us, we are his place, but we're not his place. And it takes more than just the four and five of us. And as much as our heart is, we cannot do it alone. We need workers. We need servants in the body. And I've been praying for so long for this body to have a servant's heart.
Amen.
But coming up on August 6th, we're going to have what is our VBS, but looks a little different this year. Typically, we do VBS, and we only get our kids in the body. We might have 6 kids. So we talked about doing it down at the trailer park, but we don't know if it's going to work. So what it looks like, it's instead of come here, drop your kids off for 4 hours and leave and don't know these people, don't know what they're about, no one will do that. It's going to be family fun carnival. We need people to do games. We've got games ordered. We're going to set up booths, and they're going to have like a scavenger hunt where they have to go and get all these Bible questions answered. So they're still getting the Bible teaching. But we need lots of people just to run games. You can do a ring toss game or a beanbag game. And in doing so, you're reaching people. It's an opportunity for them to meet us at his place and see that we're not crazy, despite what they might have heard. You know, that we're kind and that we just want to love. You know, you wouldn't believe what I hear about this place. Yeah. So it's looking like it's going to be just a carnival out in the field. And then afterward, we're going to have a big cookout. The whole church body, anybody that comes that wants to stay, we're just going to have a time of fellowship and a cookout. We're going to do praise music. It's just going to be a big festival. August 6th.
No snakes.
No snakes. Hopefully it is outside. Chase and I have been talking about with Denise and some other people, November 7th is the Saturday before the election. God has placed in our heart the desire to have a 24-hour period in this building of praise and worship. It does not have to be the whole team up here the whole time. It might be one person with a guitar for a two-hour set and then one person on the keyboard. It doesn't mean that everyone has to be here 24 hours. It just means that someone commits to being in this building for 24 hours, bringing praise to Christ and bringing intercession for McDowell County and for our nation. And it might just be Chase and I for 24 hours, but you know what? There's going to be 24 hours of praise and worship straight in this building.
You won't be alone.
And you know what? It's uncomfortable and it's hard. I got 3 kids. You know, it's hard to commit to 24 hours, but I'm committing because I want to see change.
Luckily, there's like $5 pizzas a mile down the road, so.
We will have snacks in the back. You can take a nap in the kids' room. The whole building will be going. I want to keep the sanctuary very much about worship and quiet, but if you need to step in the back and talk, eat, chat, whatever. But my goal is to have a sign-up sheet, and we're going to have somebody. Allie's going to be bringing some of her friends from YWAM in and from D.C. We're going to work sets. Scott and Amy are hopeful to come do a set. Every 2 hours, we're going to change worshipers. We would like to get people to sign up for an hour or 2 hours at a time to commit to be here and intercede so that we have a 24-hour period that does not stop of prayer and intercession.
Yeah, the music and the worship is important, but the prayer and the intercession is equally as important. And the worship, you know, we all know this. It creates the atmosphere for God to move. But you know, if you can't play an instrument, if you don't feel like you can sing, you can always come pray.
One more note on the Bible school. We want to set up a table with some snacks and chips and things. So if anybody that was willing could donate some chips, maybe little bags of snacks or things, that would be really great. We will need those. And also, one more thing. My mom is coming today to speak. September 10th is the Walk for Life. That is the one outward event this body commits to every single year. That is the one and only thing we ask our praise team to commit to every single year. Our praise team will be there performing. It's not a leading worship type of thing. It's more of a concert performance for a solid hour. And that is when thousands of people in the county get eyes on who is his place and what is his place about. So it's really, really, really nice if some of you guys show up in his place shirts and represent us there.
We had worship last year.
We did have worship last year, and it was really good. And I think, I've not heard 100% sure that Greg Conley is going to be with our worship team this year.
I nailed him down months and months ago.
Acts 2:42 to what? 42 to 47. Okay, go for it.
They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continually with one mind in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved.
To their number. In a church on a farm. When Paul and Marion get their farm, we're going to have church there. We're all going to live.
We've been watching these CDs that Chris gave us. And this, he said, what can we do? Well, this young boy, he just goes out on the streets. And he he's been mandated by the Holy Spirit to go out on the streets and to say, can I pray for you? And we're living in a world that is in crisis. And the only answer is Jesus. The only answer is us. What's yes. stopping us? Just go.
That's what Allie Singh is doing.
Uh-huh. You're just going.
And just been, go. Like, then week, 2 weeks, how long has it been? Like, so many healings and people minister to.
Trust God. Just, trust the Holy Spirit.
We're mandated to get to the song set. Jesus makes much too high a price for us to pay the fees.
No, the one thing I didn't read in my notes, it says one thing is for certain. It will not happen unless the body of Christ figures out how to come together and speak in unity and love. And I had 1 Corinthians 13:1-10 written. We have got to love. We've got to love each other. And we have got to love this community.
They went from house to house.
I'm guilty. We get busy and we get distracted and we have our own lives. But what is my purpose here? Is my purpose to work 40 hours a week and do this and that? Or is my purpose to love on these people? You know, and how many times am I in the grocery store and I see someone who's really hurting? And do I stop or do I just keep going? You know, I am preaching to myself here. I've got to start walking in it and acting in it. Because every time you do, every single time he shows up, you know?
Nothing else, go to the hospital. What Paul and I do, just go.
There's always someone at the hospital who needs love. But in these next upcoming outreaches, all three of them, it's really, really important for the body to come together on this. You know, it will go and God will bless it if it's just the four of us here, but how much so if we have the whole body? You know, this walk for life, I've seen it for years and years in a row now, and every denomination is represented, and they're all there together walking for one purpose. We're going to walk. We're going to walk to get attention, and we're going to show people. Last year, it poured rain and lightning, and we walked. We walked in the pouring rain. My little kids walked that hill at the Y in the pouring rain, and people were driving by, and they were seeing walk for life, walk for life, walk for life. And that got people's attention. It was on the front page of the newspaper. Showers of blessing. Thousands of people walk even in the pouring rain to say, we stand for life. You know, you may not be able to do a whole lot. I can't go to the Supreme Court and stand on the steps like Allie did with the tape on my mouth, at least not yet. But I can go to that track on a Saturday morning and I can say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to stand for life. And this is your opportunity to do that. So don't miss it.
So Father God, we just thank you so much for these words. Father God, we thank you for speaking to us. And Father God, pray that you will forgive us if we've stood in the way of you speaking. Father God, we pray for unity. Pray for unity first in this body. Father God, we pray for unity in this county. Pray for unity in the collective body of Christ. And Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Pray that you will show us the ways that we can, things we can do to help break down the dividing walls. And Father God, we just thank you. Thank you so much in Jesus' name.